Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week we're going to be talking about investing in your knowledge portfolio. Before we get started, I want to mention that we are sponsored by New Relic. You can find them at newrelic.com, and their RPM product is just awesome. You can get metrics on your website in Java, Ruby, PHP, .NET, whatever you're using, and it rocks. It really does. It gets you all kinds of information that you need to figure out what's going on with your application, find the trouble spots, wipe them out, and just move on with stuff. Now, there are a few other things that I want to mention before we get going. First is that I'm going to be putting up another survey. I did a survey, at the beginning of the year or something. I just want to get to know a little bit better the people who are listening to these podcasts and are involved, and find out what you want, what you like, what you're looking for, as well as who you are, where you're at, and what you're involved in. So if you could just do that, I should have that up at teachmetocode.com/survey. And if you could just take a few minutes and let me know, I'd really appreciate it. Also, I am looking for sponsors for my other podcasts. There's the Rails Coach podcast at railscoach.com. There is also the Ruby Rogues podcast at rubyrogues.com. And, I'm looking for another sponsor for this show and for the screencast as well. And so if you have any thoughts on who might be a good fit for that, then send me an email, maybe an introduction, and I really, really appreciate that. One last thing. I'm going to be speaking at the Rocky Mountain Ruby Conference in Boulder, Colorado, at the end of August. So if you want a chance to meet me or to hang out or whatever, that would be terrific. Just get a ticket, come out, and hopefully I'll see you there. Now, I'm going to jump in and start talking about this knowledge portfolio. I actually have a copy of The Pragmatic Programmer in front of me. The Pragmatic Programmer talks about your knowledge portfolio, and basically the idea is that you need to be investing in yourself as well as, doing the work that you're doing for your boss. So anyway, it's an interesting book, and I highly recommend that you read it if you haven't. But I'm just going to read some of the things that they talk about real quick. they have 5 points here, and I'm just going to pull them right out of the book. First off, there's serious investors invest regularly as a habit. Diversification is the key to long-term success. Smart investors balance their portfolios between conservative and high-risk, high-reward investments. Investors try to buy low and sell high for maximum return, and portfolios should be reviewed and rebalanced periodically. To be successful in your career, you must manage your knowledge portfolio using these same guidelines. And so then they talk about investing regularly, diversifying, managing risk, stuff like that. I think it's interesting that they bring these points up, and I'm going to talk about them briefly for a minute here. I'm trying to find a good place to put this book, sorry. The first one where it says that you invest regularly, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. I mean, you want to do it regularly, you want to do it often. I don't know how often is the right amount for a given developer. I think it really depends on your situation. But I would think that you should be learning at least one new technology every month. I try and do a little bit more than that, but I'm in a different situation where I'm a freelancer. I'm trying to pick up new technology so that I can better serve my clients by saying you should use this, don't use that, things like that. And the other thing is that as I invest regularly, that increases my value to my customers. And at the same time, you have to realize that as you invest regularly, it increases your value to your employer or to your clients. And it's really important to be able to offer that to them and say, I can do all of these different things. I can provide you with everything that you need. I have the expertise and the technologies that you're going to need to use. And I can give you essentially whatever it is that's going to get you where you want to be. And the other thing that I really like about it, and that is just that I get to learn new technologies. I get to play with cool new stuff. So lately I've been playing with Cassandra. In fact, that's what I'm going to be speaking on at Rocky Mountain Ruby. And, so I've been playing with that for the last couple of weeks. And it's really cool. And I actually have a client that's going to be using it. So, you know, there is some payoff there. But, you know, it really is. It's just a terrific thing to be doing every week, both to kind of see what's out there and to kind of meet the curiosity. I get curious about the stuff. I have a whole list of technologies that I want to learn about, and this is one of them. So another thing is to diversify. So, you know, you don't want to be an expert. Well, you do want to be an expert in just one or two technologies maybe, but you really want to be able to do all kinds of things so that you can interface what you're an expert in with what you're learning about, or be able to move into another position and help out for a little bit. One way that I've seen this pay off is that I was a systems administrator before I was a programmer. I don't think that's too uncommon. But anyway, I've wound up in several of my jobs actually doing IT work, you know, setting up servers, you know, tuning databases, things like that. I've wound up doing that stuff for my boss or my client in situations where I was really hired to be a programmer. And that has also been really, really handy both for them and for me, because if I need to get something done, I can just do it. I don't have to go find somebody with the right expertise and worry about what I'm going to be doing, you know, how I'm going to get that done. In fact, it kind of bothers me when I have to wait for somebody, particularly in IT, you know, where I could go in and do it myself, to have to wait for them to go in and do that. Just it really, really bothers me. So the other next one, they talk about splitting the portfolio between conservative and high risk. The interesting thing is that typically if you're talking about conservative investments in your knowledge portfolio, you're talking about technologies that are pretty well established that you know you can find work in. But the problem with the conservative technologies, and this is something that's pointed out in The Passionate Programmer by Chad Fowler, is that the conservative ones are usually the ones where there are a lot of people and a lot of work, and so you're competing with more people in order to get that work. Whereas if you're picking something that's kind of out there that not a lot of people do, that not a lot of people know, or even bleeding edge technologies that may or may not actually get adoption, I mean, that's a high risk bid. But at the same time, if that technology takes off, or if I don't know, I lost my train of thought. Anyway, if it takes off, if it gets popular, or even if a few people adopt it that are kind of high end clients and aren't able to transition off to whatever actually does become popular, you know, then you're in a position where you're one of the handful of people that they can actually call on and contact to use that technology to do whatever it is that they're trying to do. And that puts you in a position where you can, you know, demand more in pay, you can, you know, you offer more value because people like you aren't as common. And, you know, ultimately it really does, you know, it does pay off. Now, the next one is investors try to buy low and sell high for maximum return. And basically what you're looking for there is you're looking for ways to make a minimum investment with a maximum return. And basically, so the idea is that if you're trying to find a technology that is new, usually the documentation isn't as good. But at the same time, you know, that allows you to buy when it's down and then sell when it gets popular. The other thing that's interesting is that, you know, so as you're taking your risks and you're learning about this stuff, you can become an expert and really, you know, again, you get that payoff. The last thing is it talks about rebalancing your portfolio. And rebalancing your portfolio really comes down to, okay, what expertise do I offer? Which ones are most important? You know, and how do I move ahead with those? You know, and which ones do I not want to invest any more in, and or even pull out of? So, for example, I know people who have invested heavily in PHP for several years, and then they're pulling out and they're investing now in newer frameworks like Ruby on Rails or Django or Seaside, which is written in Smalltalk, or some of these other web technologies. And, you know, what they've done is they've rebalanced their portfolio in favor of things that actually are going to pay off for them better in the long run, either in being able to find better jobs or more fulfilling work or, you know, what have you. And so if you look at this stuff and you realize, okay, I don't want to know this stuff anymore. I don't want to be involved in it. Or at the same time, you realize I haven't done anything with this technology for a while, and it would put me in a better position if I spent the time to learn it. So there's a lot there and a lot to know. And, but investing regularly in your knowledge portfolio is actually a great way to go. And it really does pay off. Now, in my case, I kind of invest rather publicly, or show what I've learned rather publicly in the screencasts. But I am learning new technologies, and some of them aren't so super easy to learn. I've hit a kind of a roadblock with Facebook apps, and so I've been working through that and talking to friends who have done it to learn it, because I feel like there's an investment. Excuse me. I feel like there's an investment to be made there that I can pay off for my clients, that can pay off for me, and that can help me find more interesting and better work. And so there is the payoff there. There is something there that I'm trying to learn, but it's not easy. It's not well documented. Another thing that I've been learning is Cassandra. And again, I mean, the documentation out there just isn't great. I finally bought a book from O'Reilly, and that seems to be explaining a lot of the things that I had questions about. So, you know, there is that payout. I actually know the project lead, what do they call him, project director, anyway, for Cassandra, and so I'm going to try and get him on the podcast. I haven't been able to line up a time with him yet, and I've been buried in work, so I haven't been able to line up any other interviews as well. That's why I'm doing this episode, but I feel like I do have stuff to talk about, and so I'm not sad that I don't have an interview. It's just, you know, I wish I had more interesting people to talk to. Anyway, so they give some suggestions of goals, some guidelines on things that you can do to invest in your portfolio. And let's see. So one of them is learn at least one new language every year. And I think that's an interesting problem. You learn how to approach things from a different standpoint. I mean, Ruby is pretty, you know, gives you a pretty easily defined, in a lot of ways, ways of solving specific problems. And in other languages, it may not be so easy. There may be other languages that solve certain problems better than Ruby. And so, you know, that's something that I've been trying to invest in a little bit better. I think this last year, the language that I've learned the most about is JavaScript. And I've been learning CoffeeScript. And, you know, and so hopefully next year I can pick up something else, maybe something a little bit more diverse. Read a technical book each quarter. That's something that's interesting, but at the same time, you know, I wonder, I mean, this book was written, what, 20 years ago, something like that. And I'm wondering a little bit, you know, as you read a technical book, a lot of these technical books get out of date. And, you know, so if you're purchasing an actual dead tree copy of the book, in a lot of cases, you know, you're buying something that you're only ever going to be able to use or reference, you know, once or for a few months before the technology changes. I mean, I have a couple of books on iOS, and iOS 5 just came out, and, you know, all my books are for iOS 4, and so they're quickly going to become obsolete. So I wonder a little bit about that aloud, but at the same time, you know, the Cassandra book, for example, was the only resource that I could find that actually documented what I needed to know about Cassandra. So there is value there. Just keep in mind that you want to be getting the more recent books. If the book is more than a year or two old, it may be out of date. And you may want to talk to somebody who's actually working in that field with that technology to figure out if that book is up to date or not. It says, the next one is read non-technical books too. It's important to remember that computers are used by people. And that's really important. It's funny how many times, you know, I build a website. I'm building a website for my client right now. And I keep telling him, look, you need to have a UX person get in here and designer get in here, because I don't know. But anyway, and I'm trying to get better, but you know, it's tough. And I have to figure out where to put my spare time. And right now my spare time is going into building a Ruby on Rails course and learning about Cassandra so I can speak about it and so that I can use it in my client's project. So, you know, there's this trade-off, but you do need to understand a bit about how users are going to use your program. Take classes. That's another interesting way to do it. You can take them at the university or at the college. Sometimes people just offer courses out there. I know that my friend Peter Cooper is offering kind of an intermediate Ruby course in England. So if you're out there, you can check that out. I don't remember what the site is. I'll put a link up in the show notes. But there are a lot of different classes out there that are being offered. And even if you have to travel for them, there could be a payoff for that too. Participate in local user groups. I've talked about this before. There's a huge payoff for that. You can find people who are doing what you're doing, but you can actually sit down with them and work with them and learn stuff. In my user groups, there's usually also some kind of presentation where there's a discussion about a particular technology or practice. And some of the technologies I'm not necessarily interested in, but some of them are interesting, and they offer new and interesting ways of doing things. One other one is experiment with different environments. So if you're a Windows person, you know, try out Linux or Unix. If you're a Mac OS person, try out Windows. And I know I'm probably going to turn a few people off. If you're familiar with both, then, you know, but try different things out. Find out what the hardships are for developing whatever it is in one technology over another. One example of this is that there are a lot of people who have been trying to use Windows to build Ruby and Ruby on Rails applications. And there's been a Ruby installer for quite a long time. And then you can kind of make Rails work. And I did Ruby on Rails development on Windows for my first year as a professional developer. And I have to say that generally things worked, but not always. And you'll find that if you understand the problems there, then you can also find ways of making it easier. And there's a company in the San Francisco area called EngineYard. And they actually... built a Rails installer for Windows. So you can just go to railsinstaller.org and you can download it and run it on your machine. And it will install Ruby, Ruby Gems, Rails, Bundler, a whole bunch of other stuff. And then you can just move ahead with Ruby on Rails and learn how to develop it. And, you know, things like that, you know, there are ways to contribute. But even then, you know, you begin to understand some of the problems that are there. Finally, it says stay current, and they talk about trade magazines and other journals. Again, you know, I think most of that's moved to the web. I think most of that's moved to blogs and things. But, you know, keep current. Find the people who are talking about the latest stuff. Find the people who are on the front line developing whatever it is that you need to develop. And, you know, find a way to do it and just, you know, stay current. And finally, it says get wired. And it talks about news groups and other things. You can actually go out and you can find mailing lists and things where you can get involved, get information, find the information that you want to learn, and then learn it. And, you know, I really like these suggestions. I highly recommend that you go find the blogs of the people who are building and working with this on a daily basis and find the tips and tricks that you need. One other thing that I've really found fascinating and helpful is stackoverflow.com, and they have a whole bunch of questions and answers. And if you have questions about specific technology, you can put it on there and usually get a response pretty quickly. So anyway, those are more or less the tips that they have. I hope this helps you, and I realize that I followed a lot of the content from the book, but it really is a terrific resource if you're trying to become a better programmer and become a pragmatic programmer, you know, just move ahead in that way and advance your career. So, you know, go out there, invest in your knowledge, you know, learn some of these new technologies. There are so many of them. And, you know, there's everything from database technology to front end layout technology. There are different programs that you can use to, to learn a lot of this stuff, and so I highly recommend it. If you're looking to learn some of the stuff that I do, for example, Ruby or Rails, if you want to learn Ruby, there's a great program out there. It's called Hackety Hack, that doesn't have any C's in it. And, you know, just a terrific program there to learn how to program and to learn how to program in Ruby. And then you can also take some of these courses, including my Ruby on Rails course that's available at teachmetocodeacademy.com. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. I want to thank you for listening, and I will probably just end this now and catch you next week. I do want to acknowledge our sponsor, New Relic, and remind you to go check out teachmetocodeacademy.com and sign up for my Ruby on Rails course. Thanks.